May he open our hearts, give us ears to hear this invitation, and open our hearts to respond in a childlike faith. I've got the verses in a slightly different version here, but I think these are wonderful verses of encouragement to us. I remember first opening my heart to Jesus when I was 9. I very clearly remember that Sunday when I heard the preacher talk about opening your heart, letting him come in and rule in your heart. And that's when I first came to Jesus. Then when I was 15, I remember making a strong commitment to, yes, I really want to follow Jesus, because I kind of drifted away and my friends weren't following Jesus. So it was very hard for me to live as a Christian. And at 15, I made that recommitment. But those are both quite a long time ago now. But I still, all these years later, I still need to hear that invitation today, to be reminded that Jesus, he really is calling me. He's still calling me to come to him, to follow him. And I hope for all of us this morning, we can just hear that invitation again very clearly, that he is saying, come to me, follow me. So I just pray that God will remind us all of that call this morning, and that you'll go into your week just knowing how deeply you are loved, that Jesus is the one who loves you more deeply than anyone else, and that you will go in his strength as you go throughout your week. So the first thing in this verse, Jesus prays to his Father, thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. He is the Lord. He is the one who made all things. He is the rightful ruler over all things. And all of history, he is in command. He is sovereign. Everything that ever existed, every person who ever lived. But we need to have our eyes open to what does that mean. If he is Lord, then we need to look to him for everything, don't we? For our answers to all our questions, all our struggles, all our problems. Also for our purpose in life. If he is Lord, that changes everything, doesn't it? There's Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? And as we know who made those mountains. We know the maker. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our help is in him. But as I think of those verses, with those verses in mind, I'd like us to quickly go back to Thailand for a moment and look at some mountains in Thailand. As you look up to these mountains, what do you see? There's Buddhist temples, there's Buddha statues, idols. So for a Thai person, as I was saying, only 1 in 500 in central Thailand knows Jesus, knows when they look up to the mountains, my help comes from the one who made all of this. But for 499 of those 500, they don't know. So they look up to the mountains and they see these idols. And when life gets hard, they run to the temple. That's what they've been taught to do. They offer sacrifices. They make vows to the idols. That's where they look for help. And it's and this should move us. This moves Jesus to compassion, and it should move us as well. But there's also a saying in Thailand, which maybe we can relate to a little bit more. And Thai people, they say, "Dong bed ti pung kong ton eng na kap." So maybe that's something that you can relate to as well. So that means you have to trust in yourself. You have to help yourself. You can't expect others to help you. And that's something that Thai people often say when they think of religion. You have to trust in yourself. You have to help yourself. And maybe that hits a bit closer to home for us, because unless we're in a real crisis situation, like our daughter's been rushed to the hospital and we'll be like, please pray, everyone please pray, and we'll be praying. In our regular day-to-day lives, our regular challenges, challenge of parenting, of marriage, challenges of work colleagues, stress in work, our day-to-day challenges, maybe we have that tendency as well to trust in ourselves. Not to look up to the maker of heaven and earth, the one who is Lord of all, and seek his help, but to trust in ourselves and think, well, I've done this before. I've got the ability to get through this. I have the right connections. I can use my status in the community to get through this, or I've got the financial means to get through this situation. That's often our heart's habit, is often to turn to those things. So where do we, out of habit, where do we put our trust in our day-to-day lives? Do we trust in the maker of heaven and earth, or do we, are we people who trust in ourselves, like the Thai? In this verse that we looked at, the Lord of heaven and earth has hidden these things from the wise and understanding. I really like the New Living Translation there, those who think they are wise in this world, those who think they know all the answers, and revealed them to little children, to the childlike, it said in the New Living Translation, to those who are like little children, who come in trust, who come realizing, I can't help myself, I need my Heavenly Father to help me. Those are the ones who can see these things. Jesus is talking about the teaching of the kingdom, the good news of Jesus. Those things, he's revealing them to those who come in childlike faith. So may we turn to him in childlike faith and not trust in our own wisdom to solve our problems. In another place, Jesus says, in Matthew 18, he said, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So those are the kind of people who can come to Jesus, are those who come trusting like a child. Like a child isn't ashamed of being needy. A child knows that it's needy, knows that it needs his mom and dad to feed him, to help him. And God wants us to come to him, to lift our eyes and to see the maker of heaven and earth. He is our Father. He loves us. He wants to care for us. So may God reveal himself more and more to us and develop this childlike faith in us. Give us this childlike faith to trust him like a child. And that is something that he is pleased to do. It gives him pleasure. That's his gracious will. He loves it when his children come to him and in trust in their needs. And then Jesus says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. So in Matthew 28, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So Jesus is the one who has all authority. Authority over this world, over everything he's made, over life and death. And he is the one who can help us. He is the only one who can help us because he has all authority. So in this verse, as in verse 25, it talks about the truth being revealed to us. Jesus himself chooses to reveal God the Father to us. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Maybe sometimes when you read those verses, I definitely have had this a lot, and sometimes there's this nagging voice that says, well, what if God hasn't chosen to reveal himself to me? Maybe God has hidden himself from me. And that's something that in my Christian years, I've often wrestled with that. But God wants us to know his voice and to know the voice of the accuser. We have an enemy who wants to tell us, look, you're not good enough. God wouldn't choose you. You're not the kind of person that God actually wants to be in his family. When we hear a voice like that, when you hear, oh, maybe I'm not chosen, maybe God hasn't revealed, that's not the voice of the good shepherd. That's the voice of the one who wants to steal, to kill, to destroy us. So we need to recognize that voice and say, no, that's not true. That is not from God. We need to hear the voice, this invitation that Jesus calls us to. And that invitation comes in the very next verse. Just notice who this invitation is for. Come to me. That's the voice of the good shepherd. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Does that include you? That includes me. That is an invitation for all of us, all who are weary and burdened. Praise the Lord that is an invitation, that we don't have to be good enough. We don't have to be wise and understanding. We just need to come like children to the one who calls. come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Praise the Lord for this invitation. Now, he's using an image of a yoke here, and those listening would have recognized that as an agricultural image from, let's see if that, am I pressing the wrong button? There you go. Okay, sorry, the PowerPoint isn't working, it just puts everything up, but for the first picture is just of these oxen, so being yoked with another ox, a more experienced ox, and walking along with that ox, and the Jewish listeners, they would have recognized that from their farming. But they also would have thought of the law. The Jewish law was often described as a yoke. And the word for burdened, heavy laden, is only used one other time in the New Testament. It's in Luke 11, where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. And he says to them, "Woe to you, teachers of the law, for you load people with burdens hard to bear. And you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." So that the people listening to Jesus, they had this burden of trying to keep the law, as the Pharisees were telling them. If you want God to accept you, you must keep every last letter of the law. And they were putting this burden on them. And in Acts 15, later on, when the good news of Jesus started going out to all people, not only Jews, but Gentiles, and Gentiles were becoming part of the group of disciples, a similar thing started happening. So in Acts 15, the apostles met together in Jerusalem with the leaders of the church, and they came to discuss the issue that Jewish Christians were telling non-Jewish believers, you have to be circumcised, you have to keep the letter of the law. And it's a very similar thing that started happening. And as they were all gathered, Peter said to all of them, Why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. So they were going back to this yoke of the law and of pleasing God by keeping that, where Jesus was calling them to take his yoke, the yoke that is easy, the burden that is light, to follow Jesus, not to cast off that old burden, which was a burden of a yoke of slavery, which they could never save themselves. In Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message paraphrase, he, in this verse, he writes, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me." So this legalism, it causes people to become burned out on religion. That's why I put up this picture of the Latyao church. I can't change the PowerPoint now, but earlier you saw this picture of the church that we worked alongside. And as we started working there, we realized that they had this burden of legalism, that they didn't grasp the grace of Jesus, the gospel, that sets them free from that legalism. And they were hearing this from Thai preachers as well, that in order to please God, you have to do these things. And it was Buddhism as well, where Buddhism tells you if you do these things, then your life will be blessed. And that's what they were hearing over and over again. And it becomes so deeply entrenched in some of the leadership in the church that that was the biggest struggle for us. One was the isolation that we felt. You know, it was a hard place to be. There's the spiritual darkness, and idol worship, but it was also this legalism within the church, where they had this burden of a law that was being placed on them. And only few of the people there, where you really got the sense that they had the freedom of the gospel, that they knew, no, Jesus, this isn't what it means to be a disciple. But for us, that was hard. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Jesus says, come to me. Maybe you feel a similar burden at times, and that there's some things that you find too heavy to bear. Maybe you do have that nagging feeling that it's never quite enough what you're doing. You're never quite sure whether God accepts you. I want you to see this gospel this morning that he's saying, come to me, all you who are burdened, all you are heavy laden. Lay that down, come to Jesus. Maybe it's shame over things you've done, if only people knew. Maybe it's anxiety about things you're not coping with in life, or future fears. Lay those things down. Come to Jesus. Hear his invitation. Come to him with childlike faith and lay down that burden and find rest. Find rest for your souls. And Jesus reveals himself to us. I am gentle and humble in heart. That's why we can come to him as sinners. We can come knowing he is gentle and humble in heart. Has anyone read the Dane Ortlund book, Gentle and Lowly? Have you? Has anyone? Is a book that where he's talking about this this passage and saying this is the only place in the Gospels where Jesus actually gives this definition of his own heart, what he is really like. He could have said he's holy and righteous and just and awesome, which is all true, but here he, as this defining characteristic, this one thing that if we met Jesus in person, this would be the thing we'd remember about him that would shine out most clearly is his gentleness and humility, his humble heart. That would be the thing that would stand out. Dane Ortlund wrote, for all his resplendent glory and dazzling holiness, his supreme uniqueness and otherness, no one in human history has ever been more approachable than Jesus Christ. As sinners, we ought to be terrified by that dazzling holiness, but actually we find in the Gospels that it was the sinners who came to Jesus. He was known as a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And when the Pharisees complained about that, he said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. In the other passage it was that we're looking at today, it's not those who are wise and understanding in their own eyes, but it's those who come like children. For I haven't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So if you're wondering, is Jesus really calling me? And you think to yourself, I'm sure he wouldn't want me. Remember this, Jesus didn't come to call the righteous. He didn't call those who are wise and understanding, but he came to call sinners to repentance. Childlike faith, come to him. All you, if you're weary, if you're burdened, and you will find rest for your souls. To go back to Eugene Peterson's message paraphrase, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. I love that picture and that phrase, the unforced rhythms of grace. It's quite a nice picture to think about. But Jesus wants us to come to him and learn from him, to see what his heart is like, to know that heart that is gentle and humble. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So may we walk with Jesus and learn from him as we become yoked with him. He's the one who's doing the heavy lifting. He's carrying our burdens. He's carried our sin, our shame. And we can go with him and start seeing what he does. How does he love people? As we get to know him more, he changes us and makes us more like him. So may we walk with him as disciples, learn from him. A few chapters earlier in verse 9, the disciples got to see Jesus' compassion, his love for the lost. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. So the disciples got this glimpse into his love, his compassion for the lost. And as we know Jesus, he gives us that heart. Just a quick reminder of the six ways, which also just, it's just a part of being a disciple. It's serving alongside with Jesus, seeing his heart, his compassion for the lost. So it's learn from me. And then as we see the world that he loves, would we pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field as disciples? And it's not a heavy burden. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. But he wants us to to walk with him, to share that, and to grow in these areas of learning, of praying, welcoming the stranger in Jesus' name, of going to where Jesus isn't known, inspiring others in our fellowship, in our community, inspiring others, sending others. That's also a part of it. So may we grow in those areas of discipleship and have that joy of knowing his heart. And as I said earlier, there are wee booklets if you want to take those to pray. I was inspired, mobilized when I was younger by prayer, by praying for different countries, and people were encouraging me to pray for the countries of the world. And as I was praying for Thailand and other parts of Southeast Asia, that God just put that, he shared his burden with me, really, that he wanted me to respond and to be willing to go. So he eventually led me and Sarah to go to Thailand through that, being mobilized by others, being inspired, and praying to the Lord of the harvest. And as I prayed, he said, yeah, I'd like you to go. I'd like you to go and make me known in Thailand. So may we all have that response, that we learn from him, that we walk alongside him, learn from him, pray to the Lord of the harvest for workers. So these are just a few groups of people that it was really through the prayers of the saints, the prayers of those back home who are praying for God to open doors, that we were able to share of the love of Jesus with children, with young people, with adults, with some very elderly who opened their hearts to Jesus. And that's through prayer, the prayer of those who are burdened with Jesus to share that burden, to share his heart for the world. So please do pray for those who are going out to make Jesus known. And thank you for praying for us. Just close with these words. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. That's all of us. Come, and we will find rest for our souls. So may we come today like children. May we hear this invitation afresh that is for us today. Respond, lay our burdens down, knowing his heart for us. More and more. His heart for us is gentle, is humble, and may we know that rest for our souls. So, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are calling us today. You know our hearts. You know where we are weary and burdened. We are heavy laden. Lord, thank you that you are calling us to come to you. Please help us to respond in childlike faith, to know more fully how wide and how long and how high and how deep your love for us is. Thank you that you promise to give us rest for our souls as we come to you. I pray for each person here, those back home. Please help us to come to you with childlike faith. Help us to take up this yoke that is easy, your burden that is light, to walk with you, to learn from you day by day as your disciples. And please give us your heart of compassion for the world around us, for those who don't know you. Please reveal yourself to us and reveal yourself through us to others, that others would also come to trust in you, that they also would know the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, that they would know him as their hope and as their help, their salvation. So would you bless this community, make them a blessing in this community, Lord, to make you known, so that many more would come to Jesus and find rest for their souls as well. We thank you for your word, for this encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.